fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, happy Sabbath, church family. It is good to see each and every one of your faces. And, you know, you feel it when the Pathfinders are gone. And we praise the Lord for the great Pathfinder group and everybody. And they're out on an adventure. And we praise the Lord for so many young people. And it's also good to hear all the little babies in the congregation. I think as a church family, that is the best sign you want to hear in your church, is that the future of the church, by God's grace, is secure when you hear the little ones. So we praise God for all of that. And I praise God that I'm alive today and my legs are attached. Some of you might not have known, but last week I could not be here because I was challenging to do an Ironman, and you've heard some about it. It's about 140 miles, but I had to do it while sick. And my family knows this, but on Sabbath, wherever I am, I'm going to go to church. And that was one of the first Sabbaths where I could not even muster the courage to go to church. It would not be the wise thing to do. So I praise God, He did a miracle. And a lot of people say, well, Pastor Mo, why do you do Ironmans? It's very simple. It's to challenge myself and those in my family that we can do hard things. You know, sometimes in life, one of the most dangerous things is to be comfortable. You need and we need to adapt ourselves to be able to have the mental fortitude to do hard things. Because when you learn to do hard things, when life comes your way, you know by God's grace, you will be able to overcome. And it's also to show that, you know, we have a health message, amen? And that if we follow our health message, we do not lack anything. If it's to do 140 miles, by God's grace, we're going to get it done. Because we have a health message, and it is a blessing to have. As well, my friends, we are living in very interesting times, aren't we? The events over the course of this week have reminded us that this is not our home. And it's easy whenever you see people being killed or different things of that sort to be overcome by evil. But we must remember to not be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil by doing what? By doing good. There's a lot of people hurting in this world and a lot of people that are angry in this world. And if we are not careful, we can become like them. But we have to remember that we have a mission, and that mission is to tell this world that there's a better world to come, and that this is not our home, but the world to come is. Well, my friends, let's have a word of prayer as we study the Word of God together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, at this time, we ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us your truth. For Father, we need a word of God today. I pray, Father, that we would never be the same again as we encounter the Jesus of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been going through our series on the fruits of the Spirit entitled Freedom. Because when we experience these fruits, we shall be free. We shall be free from the power of evil. Today, as we have been going through our series, guess what fruit are we talking about this morning? Oh, Sister Carmen, you are good. We all need patience, don't we? Patience. Well, we're going to have fun with this one, so I hope you're ready. Patience, based upon the Word of God, found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience," or in some translations, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no what, my friends? There is no law. There is no boundary to the amount through which we could practice these virtues. As we talk about patience today, a famous psychologist said that the most important and useful virtue in our world today is, guess what, my friends? Patience. The fact is that we need it all the time, and we need it everywhere. Everywhere. So much so that the wisest men upon this earth, apart from Christ, put it this way in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. He says, "One who is slow to anger is better than what? Than the mighty. And one who rules his spirit than one who captures a city." To be able to experience patience requires one to be even better than the mighty. And God grows our patience by testing our patience. That is the way how God grows our patience. He tests our patience. Now, I don't know if you'll be familiar with some of the tests that we experience today in 2025 in Lansing. I'm going to name a few, and I don't know if you're familiar with these tests of patience. The first one is we call what, my friends? Interruptions. Have you ever experienced interruptions in your life? Oh, we know it quite well. We sit down for a dinner, and then the phone rings. We're in the bathtub, and as we're taking one of the best showers we have ever experienced in our life, the door rings, and it's a salesperson. They want to talk to you right now. Or you're working on a deadline, and somebody arrives at your home. A visitor has come, and they want to see you. Interruptions. I don't know about you, but interruptions at times can test our patience. Our best plans get interrupted, and so much so that interruptions can really test our patience. Jesus himself, as he was there going through this world, he had a very busy schedule. Early in the morning, he prayed to the Lord, and as he went through his day, so many people wanted to see him, and the disciples were constantly trying to make sure that he was not interrupted. But then one day, little children wanted to go to Jesus, and the disciples thought, he has a busy schedule, these should not be interrupted. But Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 to 14. He says, "Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as what, my friends? As these." Now, if you forget everything I've said today, and I know it, that happens. You know, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I only remember three sermons from my dad. And I can tell you, I went to church a lot. Not that he was not a good preacher, he was, but sometimes you can forget. So I hope you don't forget this one. What looked to the disciples as an event of interruption, to Jesus, it looked like an opportunity. Let's make this more real. It might be that the interruptions you and I experience in our lives are God's way of opening opportunities in our lives. It might be that that salesperson that is knocking at your door needs to hear about Jesus Christ. It might be that that employee that is always asking you for help and you feel as if they should know how to do it by now. There might be something deeper going on in their life. It might be that the phone call that you receive as you're working through a project. I remember just a couple days ago, I had a deadline I was working through, and I got a phone call from a certain person, and she was telling me that her marriage was falling apart. At first, I thought, well, you know, I have a lot of things to do. This is from somebody out of town. Maybe I should call this person later. But, you know, interruptions could be God's opportunities. The second thing that we sometimes, that God allows us to experience, are a word that we call what, my friends? Even saying the word is an inconvenience. Have you ever tried to say this word? Inconveniences. Oh man, I could tell you about inconveniences. And you can tell me about inconveniences. As Americans, we do not like to be delayed. We are a generation now. That's why we have a microwave. As a matter of fact, we want it, and we want it yesterday. We do not like to waste, and we've even invented what we call minute rice. Have you ever heard of minute rice? All right. What about instant oatmeal? Man. And then we even got more creative. We created what we call fast food. The food comes fast. We don't like to wait. As a matter of fact, you know, a couple years ago, I remember sometimes growing up in parts of Africa as a missionary kid, when somebody missed a bus, they would say, well, maybe tomorrow I can pick up the same bus. But today, if we miss a green light, do we feel good? Absolutely no. We want it right now, and we do not want to be hindered. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about two sisters. One, her name was Martha, and the Bible says this in Luke chapter 10, verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparation, and she came up to him and said, that is Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the serving by myself? Then tell her to help me. What she was saying is that, Lord, I am here doing all the work. I'm trying to get things done, but here is my sister, and she's being distracted. Do something about it, Jesus. But what did Jesus do? Jesus did not see an inconvenience. He saw an opportunity to let Martha know that there is something more important than preparations of earthly things, and that is preparation of heavenly things. Patience. So we have interruptions, we have inconveniences, but there's one thing that really can test your patience. I don't know, it can test mine. Are you ready for it, my friends? What is that word called? Irritations. It sounds a little bit like this. You want everything quiet, but people are too loud. Irritation can even take a more advanced form. It might be slow traffic, long lines, flat tires, hot weather. The list goes on. But here's the question: how do we handle those irritations? As a matter of fact, irritations can even get the best of us. There was a man by the name of Moses. You might remember, you had him as we were talking in Sabbath school today. Moses was a man of God, but then he got irritated. The Bible says in there, in Numbers chapter 20, verse 10 to 11, it says, Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, listen to me, you saints of the Most High. I shall speak to the rock and it will bring forth water. What did he say, my friends? He says, listen to me now, you what? You rebels. Could you imagine if a preacher spoke that way? And this is the meekest man on earth. But Moses, after wandering in the wilderness for such a long time, and as people were complaining time and time again, Moses had it. And this is what it says. It says, listen to me, you rebels. Shall we bring forth water from you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand, and instead of, as God told him to speak to the rock, what did he do? He struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. Moses had had it. He had had it with the people of God, and he says, you know what? Instead of speaking to this rock, I won't strike it once. I will strike it how many times? Two times. Irritations tested his patience. Maybe we need to learn the lesson of the oyster. The oyster gets an irritation, and what comes out of that irritation? A pearl comes out of it. Now, some irritations can be really hard to handle. For me, one of my biggest irritations, I do not like loud noises. I grew up in war, and sudden loud noises, I cannot handle those. But over time, as you, whatever your irritation might be, God is testing our what? Our patience. Not that God wants us to be irritated, but he wants us to know that even in the irritation, he's still there. He's still there. He's still there. Number four, parents, you might sympathize with this one. What is it called? Inactivity. How many of us like to wait? Lansing Church? Especially if you have to wait at the emergency room. Hasn't that been happening a lot lately? Because a lot of people, a lot of things are happening, and you know, waiting is one of the hardest things. As a matter of fact, there was a pastor, he was driving his car, and he had a very important board meeting. And the light was turning yellow. And the person in front of him decided to stop just as the light was turning yellow. It was a person in a new car, and there was a lady there. She was driving, and he almost lost it because he was going to be late for his board meeting, and he started to yell. You can still go. Oh, he was mad. The light turned green, and he decided as soon as the light turned green and he passed the crossroads there, he passed the lady and went for the board meeting, and he arrived 10 seconds to spare. He felt good about it, entered in. As he was sitting down, there was a lady that came in about 3 minutes later. He recognized the lady from the front, and the car, it was his church treasurer. She had just bought a new car. Now, you could imagine that was a board meeting. But we don't like to wait. Job, as a matter of fact, was a man who experienced what waiting could look like. As a matter of fact, he was going through an urgent disease in his life, and things were happening, and he had to wait on the Lord. One of the hardest things is to wait on the Lord. What do you do when God is not in a hurry, but you are? What do? When you've been praying for this one person to give their life to the Lord, but they're not moving. Job said this, he had to say this in Job chapter 14. And verse 14, he says, all the days of my struggle, I will what, my friends? Wait until my change comes. Waiting upon the Lord. Waiting is one of the greatest tests of our patience. So today we want to go, as we are about to get ready to descend upon our plane here of our sermon, to learn some very practical ways how to become a more patient person. Don't you want to learn how to be a more patient person? I really do. The first thing when we're thinking about it, is we have to learn to develop a new, what, my friends? Perspective. That can be hard, but it is one of the greatest secrets of success, dealing with people. If you want to be a successful husband or wife, learn to see life from your partner's point of view. There was a man with his wife, they had gone through marital counseling. And there the wife said, you know, my husband, he never spends time with me. Now the husband, on the other hand, he was always outside doing projects because he wanted his wife to be happy with how everything looked in the house, especially the outdoors. But then he started to say, my wife never appreciates me. Now what was the challenge? They needed to place each other in each other's shoes. And they needed to voice what their expectation or their perspective was. The wife wanted more than a beautiful outdoor, she wanted her husband. And the husband, because he thought he loved his wife so much, that he was spending all this time trying to make things look good. But then when they expressed their perspective, and why they were doing what they were doing, healing came. Sometimes one of the most important things is to put ourselves in the other person's shoes and to say, why do you think that way? Why do you react this way? Tell me a little bit more of where you're coming from. If you want to be a successful business person, learn to look at life through your customers' points of view. If you want to be a successful employer, look at how your employees, what is their point of view? The Bible has wisdom for us there in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. It says, acquire wisdom and acquire what, my friends? Understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. A lot of times in this world, we are trying to acquire wisdom or information. We're an age in which we like information, don't we? But so many times, we lack to acquire understanding. Brother, sister, tell me, where are you coming from? Tell me your story. Let me see you as a person, rather than just an idea that I disagree with. I want to tell you, America, if we are not careful as Seventh-day Adventists, we will start to not like each other when we disagree or when we don't see eye to eye. There was in a certain country that had a genocide. Now you might know the country, but Adventists were killing Seventh-day Adventists. Pastors were killing pastors. And you might say, wow, how did that happen? Aren't we all Seventh-day Adventist Christians and so forth? And it was not only in the Adventist church, it was happening all across the country. But here was the reason why, because we lost the ability to see each other rather than just our ideas and information. The Bible says acquire wisdom and acquire what, my friends? Understanding. And when you acquire understanding, trust me, you will become, and I will become, more patient. Number two, how to develop patience? Acquire a sense of, oh, my friends, you look very tired today. I know this week has been hard, but acquire a sense of humor. Yes. You might say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Have you ever read Jesus's parables? Have you ever read the parable of where Jesus talks about there was a rich man and he says it's harder for the kingdom of God than for a camel to do what? Have you ever tried to imagine that? When you look at nature, you see that God has a sense of humor. And you might say, well, Pastor, why is that important? It's because if you can laugh about something, you can live with it. Acquiring a sense of humor is very important because life will throw at you all sorts of different things. And the ability not to take yourself seriously, but to take God seriously, is very important. I have news for you, my friends. All of us at times will make mistakes. Some of our mistakes will be very embarrassing. Some of the things we'll do are really, you know, when you think about it, you say, I can't believe I did that. But acquire a sense of humor. Be able to laugh at yourself in a healthy way. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A joyful heart makes what? A cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. It is interesting, I've never met a person who does hard things that does not learn to be cheerful. It is interesting that some of the people that have been through the most in life are some of the most cheerful people you'll ever meet. People that have gone through great trials and tribulation, but they're still able to smile. Because maybe they have learned that whatever you go through life, God is still there. And whatever irritations, inconveniences, whatever comes, I can still have patience because God is patient with me. Number three, my friends, how to have more patience is deepen your what, my friends? Deepen your love. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this, we read this at almost every marriage or most weddings. It says love is one of the first things. Is patient. Unfortunately, sometimes it is with our spouses that we're the most impatient. But the Bible says that love is patient. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 2 says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, and with what, my friends? Patience. Showing tolerance for one another in love. In love. Why should we be patient? Because God is patient. That is the bottom line. Why should I be patient with that person? Because God is patient with that person. And lastly, how do we become more patient? We need to learn to depend upon God. The Bible says it this way in Psalm chapter 37, verse 7 to 8. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You and I already talked about how hard at times it is to wait upon the Lord. For some of you, maybe you have been praying for a spouse and you have been keeping yourself for that special person but you start to feel as if time is running out. You know what the Word of God says? Rest in the Lord and wait what, my friends? Patiently for Him. Amen? I know it might be easy to say. I hear a laugh out there. But the Bible says it this way. It says, rest in the Lord. The Lord has your back. Because you know what? Just as God has a person for you, the devil also has a person for you. And the best way to know the difference is because if you have rested yourself upon the Lord and followed Him, He will tell you which one is the good one. Sometimes the Lord asks us to wait. Maybe we have been waiting upon the Lord for a job. We have kept the Sabbath. We've done everything we could. But the job does not come, or the work does not work. The Bible still says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for who, my friends? For Him. David, who had had to learn a lot to wait upon the Lord, he says this to us today. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of what, my friends? Of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will, I love the way how he says it, He will do it. Maybe one of the greatest tests in your life has been maybe you wanted a child. Maybe it has been you wanted a job, or you wanted some honest money. In the midst of the waiting, God is trying to teach us trust. Because when He brings the blessing, if we have not developed trust, we will forsake Him. Sometimes the reason why God wants us to wait for so long is because He's trying to develop in us a character that will be able to handle the blessing. Have you ever wondered why Moses had to be in the wilderness for 40 years? Why Paul had to go into the wilderness? It's because God was developing in them a character that could handle the blessing of God. Because when Moses got that rod by the name of God was able to do what to a Red Sea? Split a Red Sea open. Can you imagine that power? When that rod was placed upon the ground, it was able to be a snake that would swallow up the snakes of Pharaoh. But in order to handle that blessing and that power, Moses had to become a man that had to learn to wait upon God and trust in God. Sometimes maybe why God does not give us the blessing here and now is because if the blessing came, we would not be able to handle the blessing. That is why the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not what, my friends? Slow about His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us, not wishing for any to perish, but that all may come to repentance. My friends, this sermon is for myself as well as you. Let us learn to wait upon the Lord. And whatever happens in our life, whatever irritations, whatever thing has come that has seemed to be a distraction or something that we did not want to see happen, instead of losing our patience, why don't we pray, God, tell me what you're trying to teach me? It is in having patience in the quiet moments that we learn to become like Jesus, who for thousands of years has been waiting to gather us into eternity. But the only reason why he is still waiting is because there is someone who might give him a chance. So Jesus waits, and he waits, and he waits. But Jesus is appealing to you and I today. Make a decision for him. For there is a time when patience will run out, and God will come and take his own. But while we have today, just like Jesus, let us be patient with one another. Is that something we can pray about? Then let us pray together as we commit ourselves to learning to become patient like Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I am sure that in all of our lives at this moment, there are irritations, interruptions, inconveniences. But Father, you have called us today to be patient. That instead of grumbling, we can say prayer. Instead of being angry, we can give it to Jesus. And instead of losing our Christianity, we can exercise the fruit of the Spirit and say, Lord, give us patience, that we may be just like you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.